This is Mythical.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Nicole, I can't believe it's been 250 years since the Boston Broth Party.
The what?
When American colonists were fed up with British taxation, they dumped a bunch of broth into Boston Harbor.
Teachers need to get paid more.
This is a hot dog is a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Anaiti.
And Nicole, you see, the reason that joke works is because it was called the—
Mansplain it to
it
me.
It was called the I am, if I'm also manspreading under the table.
Really?
Manspreading sounds like when you just put a hefty amount of mayonnaise on
a sandwich. I was going to say, it sounds like taking a scoop of peanut butter and just really dabbing it on there.
That's a manspread.
So you sit spread out, your legs spread out.
Yeah, do you see my—
Do you see how I'm sitting? I sit with one leg underneath.
Yeah, you're all coquettish with it.
What does the coquettish mean?
You're all coquettish, like you're like dainty and cute.
Yeah, I like to make myself a little small.
And I'm spreading like a large smear of Miracle Whip on some wheat bread.
Okay, what does this have to do? Okay, you were explaining something to me like a man.
Yeah, exactly. I'm well versed in history. I've listened to many Dan Carlin podcasts. The Boston Tea Party was a thing.
Yeah, they were mad and they threw tea in the harbor like, F you.
Yeah. And I called it the Boston Broth Party because many, many, many people have sent us the question, is bone broth tea?
This is silly,
but it gets at a root of something that really brings my red up.
Brings your what up?
Brings my red up.
Brings your red up like
brings
a—
Brings my red up.
Like a thermometer.
Yeah, wait, Maggie, can you Google the phrase brings my red up? I've only heard people from the South say it, and I don't reckon I've ever said it on this show
It
before.
Has to do with the thermometer going up.
Yeah, it brings your red up. It like raises— it makes your blood boil. It brings my red up.
Mm.
Because herbal tea, right? Julia the other day was like, I really want some mint tea, and she boiled some water, steeped it in some mint, and drank it, and I was like, that's not tea.
I think it is tea.
To me.
Was it in a cup?
Yeah, the vessel matters for you.
It's always, Josh, we've been through these kinds of like whimsical, lackadaisical debates before. And you know me, the vessel always matters for me. This shouldn't be a shocker to you.
To me, this—
You don't remember the last time we had a silly little debate like this?
What was it? Was it a beef Wellington corn dog?
Probably. And you know me, I'm all about vesselage.
Shout out to Sleep Token and their lead singer, whose name is just Vessel. You know Sleep Token?
Too niche.
They have that like sexy song. It's like, you got me in a chokehold. And then it's like,
oh, the one that goes, you're in my bloodstream?
So to me, tea is an actual plant. Like there's a scientific—
There's a tea plant.
Yeah, it's called Camellia sinensis.
Uh-huh.
Is the main thing. Sinensis, literally like a Sino—
Sencha?
No, Sino. Oh. If I said like Sino-Japanese war, Japan was fighting, which country? Sino-Japanese war.
Okay, China.
China, exactly. Yeah. Camellia sinensis.
This is fun. I feel like I'm in school.
Pay me more, not the teachers. No, that's— Please pay
you
the
get
teachers
paid
more.
Enough.
My God. But no, Camellia sinensis is like the tea plant, and it is it has caffeine in it. Like the reason tea is so popular, every culture figured out a way to create an easily digestible stimulant.
Very
right?
cool.
From kola nuts to betel leaf to coffee to
yerba
tea.
Mate.
Yerba mate? Is that a type of tea?
I don't know if you—
Why call it a tea? Megan, can you look up where yerba mate actually comes from?
The plant of it?
So there are like six recognized classes of tea. There's there's white tea, there's black tea, mm-hmm. there's green tea, there's something called dark tea, I believe, which is like pu'er.
Oh, I love pu'er tea.
Pu'er tea. And then there's some like debates around that. But to me, if it's not coming from... if it's not coming from the Camellia sinensis plant, which is literally the tea plant,
mm-hmm.
I don't think it should be called tea. I think you got to come up with a different name for it, man. I think, hear me out, call it broth. Call it mint broth. I want to drink a nice cup of mint broth.
I think broth has a connotation of savoriness. That tea leans a little bit more sweet.
Okay, let's talk about the mint of it all then.
Why are you so fixated on mint?
Because mint tea is the most tea-like non-tea that we have. Mint
I disagree.
Tea is the thing that
chamomile.
More people,
chamomile.
Chamomile is just a flower, huh?
Well, yeah, tea plant flower too.
Wait, when you drink chamomile tea?
Yes, it's just chamomile buds.
Is it really?
What did you think it was, Josh?
I don't know what chamomile is.
Chamomile is a type of flower that you dry and they're like little flower buds. It's like roses, rose tea.
I'm going to be dead ass honest. I know nothing about tea because growing up, I learned, and this is not my current belief system. Coffee is for boys, tea is for girls. So I don't drink tea. And I know in other cultures, it's very different.
We're big tea drinkers, Persians.
Your dad drinks... He told me,
yeah,
like 6 to 8 cups of chai a day.
He does. He does drink a lot of tea.
And I drank the chai brand that he drinks.
Yeah.
That is delicious. I would also drink 6 to 8 cups of that a day.
I wish I had a cup of it right now, actually.
I grew up drinking tea, though.
With milk.
With milk and sugar, and it was the weakest tea. Yeah. My grandmother was educated in very Victorian-era schools in South Africa, despite the fact that she is, like, Lithuanian-Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
But she has a Queen's accent, and she freaking loves tea.
Love tea.
And so every time I visited her, she would be like, oh, darling, drink some tea. And I'm like, I don't enjoy this. Also, it's weak as hell, and it just tastes like sugary hot milk water.
Which isn't bad.
It's not bad, but it's not what I want at 4 in the afternoon.
Really? I would love to instate a tea time in the Mythical Kitchen, actually.
Can we test run it?
Sitting around, eating little cucumber sandwiches, and having a spot of tea and gossiping is, like, something I think we should all do.
What time is high tea? Is high tea different than afternoon tea?
I don't know. I guess just tea time. I had a teacher, side note, I had a teacher in school. She was from like a Commonwealth country. And she had a timer go off. And she's like, tea time. But she was actually putting bourbon in her cup. And then she got fired. Sorry.
When was this?
This was in like 6th to 8th grade. I'm trying to be vague here.
That's pretty messed up.
Yeah,
man.
Sorry. I just really had to say that. So according to the internet, what time is high tea? 5 to 7 p.m.
What are you supposed to do at high tea? Because have you been to one of those fancy tea services
hotel
in LA?
I have at the one in the Langham, Pasadena.
What can you run me through that? What are they doing? What are the emotions you're supposed to feel?
Okay, so when you walk in, first it's like super sunny. Well, also this happened at 12 o'clock. This happened more in like the afternoon, so it wasn't at 5 to 7.
Yeah,
it was just tea time, and it's a lot of ladies, and they're all wearing floral dresses.
How much men's is in the room?
For every 16 women's, one men's.
Nice. It's like a Pilates class, you know, upping your chances.
I went to a New Year's party, and let me tell you, it was the same. It was like a Pilates class ratio of women to men. And I was like, well, what am I doing here? I'm married.
There are no single guys left in Manhattan. You were saying?
Where was I? Oh, I was going to the Langham Pasadena, and it's like 12 o'clock, and there's like a baby shower over there. There's a grandma's birthday over there. There's an anniversary over there. And it's all floral dresses and cute hats. And they're just going, pour, bite. It's really nice. Why are you looking at me like that?
But, like, do they have sports games on or what are
you doing?
I mean,
I'm sure there's, like, badminton or something somewhere. I don't know. It's like Bridgerton. I don't know. It's a way for people to feel, like, I don't know, like, classier. Wear a cute dress and have some tea with your girls.
I am looking for more ritual in my life. That's the thing that tea, whether I consider it a tea or not, that's the thing that tea really brings, is a sense of ritual, which yeah. I need. I need sure. something to ground me, to root me, right?
When you say ritual, do you mean like routine?
Kind of routine, but like something that sets intention around that routine. You Not think- routine like brushing your teeth, but something like, hey, we are sitting down and we're we're gossing, we're dressing up in hats. Mm-hmm. It's a thing that I don't really have, and I think that thing that a lot of Americans don't mm-hmm. have coded in our culture in that way.
What does this have to do with bone broth?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm just trying to understand what the hell tea is, because I don't drink it.
Well, it's leaves in a cup, and you drink it for either soothing purposes or for caffeinating purposes. That's what I think tea is.
So any leaf, it has to be a leaf.
I think leaf may, or leet, or leaf or root.
Chamomile's a bud.
Okay, leaf.
So just plant.
Plant. Yeah, yeah. Some sort, something within the plant world.
Okay, great. So you have a nice cup of minestrone tea?
No. You know? Josh, you're you cheating.
Know?
No.
You know? No, but that's what we're talking about.
It's in like, think about it, like it's either loose leaf, it's just thrown about in there, or it's in a sachet, and you just dip in hot water. But the thing is, with the timing of tea versus broth,
yeah.
you can make a 5-minute broth.
It's just bad?
It's just bad. A 24-hour broth, or like a 12-hour broth, which is like standard, I feel like, for broth time.
I'd say 12 to 24?
Yeah.
That's pretty hefty on a broth. Oh, you're talking about like bone broth.
The name of the podcast is Bone Broth Tea.
Sure, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, bone broth is tea.
Have we done a podcast about bone broth versus stock versus broth?
No.
Crap, so we have to define bone broth now.
It's broth made out of bones that you roast.
I have strong feelings about what bone broth is.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so we all know.
Maggie's still trying to
you.
Find what gets my red up means.
What's when something infuriates you? Yeah, what's the etymology of it? It feels very American Southern.
Maggie, please go back to work.
Gets my red
you
up.
Were saying, gets you were saying? I almost called you David.
Bone broth. Call me David. Sorry. I'll call you Julia. Let's just make it real weird, man. You know, why not? Who cares? We're already here. So bone broth versus stock versus tea. Everybody who grew up watching the old Rachel Ray, right? She was like a surrogate mother to me. Saw her a lot more than my real mom. So I grew up watching Rachel Ray.
Yeah, I never liked her.
Why?
She pissed me off.
For what reason?
She would put weird things in rice pilaf. I'd be like, ugh, get a grip.
Yeah, it was a different time. Yeah, I've seen the Pozzoli video. It's not great. Yeah. Rachel, we love you. Come on the show.
I like her now, though. I respect her hustle and grind and her story a lot.
Oh, she has an incredible story.
When I was a young kid, I was like, ugh, what is this?
I just thought that's what rice pilaf was, and I probably end up with some messed up views of food, including the fact that she said that stock comes from bone, broth comes from meat.
Oh, is that true?
Like, ish, but there's no governing body. So if I'm generally making stock or broth with both meat and bone. I think that's how it tastes the best, right? I don't know a lot of people who are like just using bone or just using meat. It'd be weird if you just used meat because that meat generally came from a bone.
Well, I don't think it's weird. I think if you have leftover scraps of like meat in your freezer and you want to use them up, you can use it to make a broth.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So broth is meat?
Broth is meat, stock is bone. But then there's something called bone broth. And so every chef, when bone broth came out onto the mainstream, and a lot of it, I think, has to do with, like, the kind of paleo movement.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ooh, bone broth. You get all the collagen from the bones and all the nutrients from the marrow, that kind of stuff. It was big in, like, the bulletproof CrossFit world.
Remember bulletproof coffee?
Yeah, put
with
butter
MCT
in your coffee.
Oil?
Oh, my God. My ex took MCT oil. She got the giant 900-serving one, took 2 servings and said, ah, I don't want it. There's no one supplement that will change your life at all, unless you have like a medical condition. That
but
supplement.
You know what?
Creatine, that's it.
No, I was going to say
magnesium.
Friendship.
Ashwagandha.
I love magnesium. I take magnesium at night times.
I don't know what that one does, but I've heard it works.
Magnesium?
I heard it works for whatever you want it to work for.
Yes.
Cures rashes.
It's like it helps you sleep.
Helps you
and
sleep.
And it helps you with your digestion. Drive. It helps you with your libido. It helps you with your personality.
I just use Windex instead. Okay. So anyways, bone broth.
Okay.
The idea is that you are boiling the bones for longer than a typical stock. Say a typical stock would be 4 to 6 hours.
Okay.
I don't know. Just a guesstimate.
Sure.
You take those bones and you keep them going and going and going for, say, 12 to 24 hours.
I love bone broth.
I agree. What's the difference between that and stock?
I guess timing and time.
Where's the cutoff?
Not everything needs to have a cutoff.
But there needs to be. That's why we are defining things. These things are labeled in stores.
I don't think it's that necessary.
I think there needs to be a scientific quotient of collagen extraction from the bones for it to be legally considered bone broth.
Do you think the FDA says, hey, I need to see your collagen extraction kettle and bone?
Yeah, they should.
But they don't.
But they should.
I think it's just the main ingredient of bone broth needs to be bones.
Yeah.
It needs to be bones.
You simmer in bones for 1 hour.
Water and bones equals bone broth. Okay.
That's stock. It's chicken stock.
Josh, stop talking in circles. You're making me want to kill someone. Bones plus water plus time equals bone broth. Okay.
Bone, water, time. I think we need an elapsed amount of time.
More than 12 hours.
Oh, I'm happy. Now I'm a happy man.
Maggie, can you write this down?
Now, Juliet, now I'm happy.
Okay. Now just broth. What do you want to do with just broth?
Water
same
plus
equation,
meat.
Same equation, less time.
We're just talking about bone broth. Okay, Maggie, delete all this. We're just keeping the definition of bone broth up there. We
oh,
bone broth.
My God. Yeah,
because
okay.
The title of the podcast is bone broth tea? So what
no,
is
I don't think
about.
It is tea. But one time, I was at Bel Campo, and I got one of their bone broths to go, a 12-ounce bone broth. And it was, $11 for bones and water. Crazy. And some apple cider vinegar.
You're paying for the labor and time of it boiling for at least 12 hours, if I'm reading
okay.
the screen correctly.
Okay, it was so it was delicious, but I, like, put in, like, a little coffee cup, and I was just sauntering down Santa Monica, like, ooh, I have a secret in this cup, and you'll never know that it's bone broth. People would just think it was coffee or tea, but no, it was bones.
Yeah, sometimes I wear a baby diaper under my jeans to have a little secret, you know? So we're kind of the same.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
We got to get to the meat of the argument. Ha, meat. The meat of the argument, Nicole, is that people are using the term tea
yeah.
to define anything that has been steeped in water to extract the flavor. So to me—
Yeah, but tea isn't extracted for that long of a time. Tea has like a 5 to 10 minute like range or else it gets really bitter and gross. That's not the case for meats. That's not the case for the herbs. That's not a case for the roots. That's not a case for the other plants.
What about sun tea where you're just letting the tea steep for a long, long time?
Okay,
but I guess you're not
outlier,
doing that.
But
you're not doing that with broth though.
But you're doing, yeah, you're not putting bones outside in the sun to get warmed by the sun.
I feel like the ancient societies had
yeah,
did that.
We're not in an ancient society. Modern times. Modern times deserve modern definitions. Don't you agree with that, Josh Scherer?
I believe scientific classifications of plants deserve definitions. And I think if it doesn't come from Camellia sinensis, it cannot be considered tea. I think when you are making a mint tea or even a chamomile tea.
It's, okay.
I don't believe that should be able to be considered tea because it does not come from the genus of the tea
I
plant.
I think it needs to be considered tea because the average consumer.
I'm researching.
The average consumer doesn't need to have so many options. Give them less options. It's fine. Bigelow teas or whatever. Who's that bear? Who's that bear you like?
Oh, it's like curious time bear. Celestial.
Yeah,
celestial
like celestial tea and like Bigelow tea and all these teas in order to, for consumers to just not be reaching for whatever. They just all classified under one thing to make it easier for us. It's to help us, Josh. It's assisting us. We don't need that many choices.
I've completely changed my answer.
Only took, what, 30 seconds of Googling?
Yeah. Okay. Can I tell you what made me change? I didn't hear a thing you said. The thing that made me...
What else is new?
Change my answer. So all Camellia sinensis plants originated in like China and India. And you still see big, big tea cultures in China and India, right?
Yes.
But obviously they started planting those tea plants elsewhere. And there's many different varieties of tea. Primarily six that they define. Yerba mate is probably my favorite tea.
I don't have it that much.
I love the... There's something...
I'm not a mate girl.
There's something, especially if you have like proper Argentinian...
Like in the cup?
In the cup that's like steamed.
Where you're moving the green stuff?
Dude, it's
like
great.
This and you're drinking it?
Yeah, I love it.
You take the spoon and you just push it? I've Such seen soccer flavor. Players do it.
Oh, like Argentinian soccer players?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
It's a great pre-workout. And it is loaded with caffeine, which is one of the reasons I love it. But there's also this beautiful kind of earthy, almost grain-like taste to yerba mate for me. Freaking delicious, especially with a little bit of sugar. Not from the Camellia sinensis plant, which makes sense because I know yerba mate is something that's like, you know, an indigenous drink, but it's made from the Paraguariensis plant
that's
native
tea?
To Argentina, Paraguay, and Brazil. But it's like very similar, and it's like a hard leaf that is loaded with caffeine, which is really interesting.
That's so really cool.
That's outside the genus of Camellia sinensis, but it has very similar properties to mm-hmm. Camellia sinensis plants because it's like highly flavored and highly caffeinated. But to me, that's still vastly different from something like mint. Or where I was going with this, mm-hmm. if you can make mint tea, why can you not make cabbage tea, which is a broth?
Savory and sweet.
There's nothing inherently sweeter about mint than cabbage.
That's not true. And you know that's not
a
true.
A wry smile creeps across his face, knowing he's told a fib. but like, right, mint, though, is not inherently sweet.
It's not inherently sweet, but it does lean, if you look at the lexicon of how mint is used, you will see that it leans more into the sweet territory. No? Why are you looking at me like
What kind of lexicon?
Whatever lexicon.
What do you mean, look at the lexicon?
Like, you know.
Are you talking about like the old-timey term sweet herbs?
Sure.
Because we were looking at like a 300-year-old beef recipe sure. and it said add sweet herbs to it and you had sure. to Google what sweet herbs are?
Sure. Do you think kombucha is tea? It is tea, right?
How do they make kombucha?
They ferment tea. But I wouldn't consider kombucha to be a tea product.
Aren't there mushrooms in it?
What are you talking about?
I swear to God, there's something about kombucha. Talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to Google something.
Can you pass me your water bottle, Maggie? I feel like I'm about to faint. Thanks, Maggie.
Oh, okay. Do you know the first time I heard the phrase kombucha?
Mm.
It's in the... God, what System of a Down song is it? It goes, the kombucha mushroom people. Planting all of the day. And I need you. And I need you. That's just spirit.
I think people are going to think we are on mushrooms during this podcast.
I think so. We're not. We're going to break the fourth wall here. We just shot Last Meals and we are like, oh my God, so exhausted. You'll see the episode when it comes out. Fantastic episode.
Good episode.
Boy, are we exhausted. And I am full. Brain dead. But... they call the SCOBY a mushroom.
Oh.
So like a mother or a mushroom is what they'll call it. But yeah, kombucha, I don't think it's a tea. I think it's like a tea product.
Oh.
Right?
What else would you consider a tea product?
Well, maybe plain kombucha is a tea. But once you start adding juices to it, that's an Arnie Palmy.
Kombucha's an Arnie Palmy.
Kombucha's an Arnie Palmy.
Yeah, Arizona.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, Josh, I am not here to like fight and debate with you. I'm here for common ground and for understanding, okay? Don't always think I'm here to like challenge you.
My therapist said that I have trauma and that I get defensive.
It's okay. I get defensive too, not because of trauma, just because I'm a bitch.
yeah, that was my first instinct with myself. Okay. Broth, though. Let's get bone broth off the table.
I love bone broth. I don't think it's tea, though.
Bone broth isn't tea because it has to come from bones. Let's just look at the term broth, though. What separates a broth from a tea? Is it sweetness? Because I would challenge that you make a carrot broth. Carrots are sweet. Carrots are sweet, dog. You put them in
mm-hmm.
a cake.
Mm-hmm.
You
sure.
put them in a cake, okay. dude. You're making a carrot broth.
Zucchini bread.
Right?
Yeah.
Make a zucchini broth. Zucchinis. I've had a lovely full zucchini-based dessert. Shout out Chef Chris Morningstar. He made a great zucchini-based dessert that made me rethink how I thought about food.
Okay.
Right? So you make a zucchini broth. That's pretty sweet. Carrot broth. That's pretty sweet. What separates that from like a mint tea? Is it the leaf?
I think it might just be, like if you made a carrot, if you made a carrot top tea.
The comedian?
No.
Like he's if you jacked.
Took, yeah. Big guy.
Look good. You were saying?
Okay. It's like carrot tops. But the thing is, you're talking about taking the carrots and making them into a broth, right? You're not talking about taking a carrot, chopping it up fine, desiccating it, putting it in a sachet, dipping it into the water.
Yeah, I've got
to
desiccate it because people use fresh mint leaves to make tea.
Okay.
So desiccation is not part of it.
Most teas are desiccated.
I wonder, let's let's skirt around the outer limits here.
No.
Let's skate around the outside of the rink, Nicole.
I'm tired of skirting. I'm tired of skating.
Let's hug the wall of the skating rink because I don't know how to skate and I'm scared I'm going
to
fall.
Do you know how to ice skate?
No.
Oh, David took me ice skating on our second day and I had so much adrenaline running through my body that I was so good at ice skating. He took me 3 years later. I was horrible at ice skating.
What do you think happened? It was the adrenaline that, like, the love is gone. The adrenaline's gone.
Yeah.
There's no more NRE.
I also had a shoulder injury and it was raining.
You were outside?
Yeah, the skating.
Where?
Santa Monica. You can come with me next time.
They have an outside skating rink in it's by the beach.
During the wintertime.
What body of water has frozen over?
During the wintertime, they bring a rink.
They bring the ice?
They bring the rink. What were we talking about?
It's from the ocean,
what
though?
Josh, what were we talking about? Carrots?
Carrots.
Carrots into a broth.
Yeah.
Great. That's a carrot broth.
Why not tea? Why is that not tea? Why is that
what
not
do you
a
mean?
Carrot
because
tea?
I already told you timing.
Okay, you boil
it. You don't boil tea for more than...
You could. You drop... Okay, say you shred the carrots. Say you shred the carrots.
Okay, shred the carrots.
Shred the carrots. Uh-huh. Already some juice being expressed. You drop that into boiling water. Let it steep for 5 minutes. Strain it. That is going to be a flavorful...
That's a carrot tea. That's a carrot tea.
Interesting.
That's a carrot tea.
So you're saying there's a cutoff. There has to be like 5 minutes at boiling point maximum
five
for tea.
5 to 10 minutes. Whatever it says typically on a tea bag.
Can I tell you what I do with the tea bags? So
sure, buddy.
No, this isn't going where you do. I started drinking more tea at home.
Okay.
But I utterly in a disrespectful manner.
Can you see him in the camera here?
They don't need to see
me. Okay, good.
So what we do, I fill up a mug that I drink everything out of. We only have two mugs in the house. I don't want any more.
What do you mean you only have two mugs?
We have two mugs.
What happens when you have guests?
We have two bowls.
You don't ever have guests?
No, we have two bowls and two mugs.
That's not true. I've come to your house like twice already.
Yeah, and we didn't give you a mug, did we? It's like $2.
Red Solo cup, though. From the other apartment.
we microwave the water. And I
what the? Why?
What else am I supposed to do?
You microwave the water?
I microwave the water.
Buy a kettle! You're 31 years old!
Then I have less space for, like, my meat slicer and...
You have a meat slicer?
I have two blenders. I have a food processor. I got a big old coffee maker. I can't be bringing a kettle in.
Coffee maker?
Yeah.
You have a coffee maker.
Well, a percolator, yeah. I mean, what do you mean I have a coffee maker? Like, everybody has a coffee maker.
I don't have a I have an espresso machine. Grow up.
An espresso machine is a coffee maker.
It's an espresso machine.
It's like espresso is coffee.
No, shut up.
It's just like a finely ground.
Keep going. Okay,
also, it's not like an espresso. It's a Nespresso, right?
No, I don't have an espresso anymore.
What is it, like a Ninja?
It's a Revel.
What do you mean anymore? Did you hit hard times enough to sell your Nespresso?
No, I leveled up.
Oh, really? Revel's better?
Than espresso.
What happened to your Nespresso? Can I have it?
Yes.
Actually?
Yes.
Shake on it. I'll barter you. I'll trade you my microwave that I use to microwave my tea water.
So you microwave your tea water?
And then I just chuck two bags of tea in there, and I don't know how long they're supposed to steep for.
What kind of tea is this? Darjeeling?
It just says chai, which is just tea in, I believe Sanskrit is probably the original language.
But is it like Tezo tea?
Some obscure brand. It's red and glossy. I don't know the brand.
Okay. Nothing comes to
mind. Then I just let it sit there. I go pee. I maybe play a video game. And then my tea probably gets cold. I strain the bags out. And then I microwave it again. Boom. Back on the couch playing video games.
No
drinking
respect.
Tea. No respect.
No respect.
I didn't grow up with... Well, I grew up with tea culture, but in a way that I resented. And so maybe I do need to go to high tea. Maybe I need to hang out with Morris, your dad. Drink some cups of chai. I will say the best tea by far I've ever had. Oh, hey, you guys are still here. The best tea by far I've ever had was at Deep's family home and his mother's masala chai, or masala cha, as they would say in Gujarati.
Is there milk in it?
So much milk and so much ginger and black pepper and spices and chai, and it is aerated, and it is one of the best drinks I've ever had in my life.
I'm a big fan of chai, too.
And I don't know if I have it in me to, like, make that at home ever.
You don't
you know
need
what I mean?
To make masala cha at home. You don't need to. You can go out and get it.
Yeah.
There's people out there who are doing it.
Do you
want
to go to, like, proper, like, we should go. I don't know any Indian spots where I can get, like, proper masala cha.
I don't know any Indian spots, but I used to go to a Korean tea house that closed a few years ago, and I used to study there, and it was my favorite. And the lady would always give me little almond squares, and she'd be like, good job.
Aw.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
What did we learn?
I think we actually learned something valuable in codifying how long bone broth needs to be boiled for. Bone broth is at least 12 hours.
Yeah.
And then a tea is up to 10 minutes. Anything between 10 minutes and
12 hours.
719 minutes.
500
is a broth as opposed to or a stock.
Minutes.
And you
measure
right here. Cups of coffee. What did you learn?
You want to know what I learned?
Yeah.
That we should never shoot a podcast after last meals.
What? No, this is the best podcast that's ever been podcasted.
If you enjoyed this podcast, smash that like button.
Smash that like button, fam. Subscribe.
Smash it.
Turn on notifications.
Smash it.
Touch the bell. Touch it. Just a little bit. All right, Nicole, you've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the universe. It's time for a segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casseroles.
Well, Nicole, before we get into that, you know what time it is, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, tell them what time it is. Not nap time. Oh, no.
I need one.
God, I wish. Nope, it's time for Review a Review. Awesome. Everybody's favorite segment. That is where we review your Apple reviews. So go review us if you want a chance to be featured on the podcast.
We got
this
it.
One from Lily Flower. 5 stars. So good. And then like a...
Cold. It's the chilly. I'm chilly. I'm cold. That's
what is
the emoji.
That signifying in this review of so good, chilly, cold?
I don't know. Keep reading.
Like she has chills. It's so
Keep
good.
Keep reading.
This is such a good podcast. I'm 13 and obsessed. Like literally, it's so bussin'. Like literally, so skibbity. Y'all rule. Love you. Also, you should make an episode on Gen Alpha and cooking. Do you think this person's actually 13?
Yeah. Why would they lie?
Well, so they say they're 13, talk about Gen Alpha, but then it seems as if they're facetiously using terms like bussin' and skibbity.
Maybe this is Trevor.
This could be Trevor. Well, what is skibbity?
If you have to ask, you shouldn't know.
I don't know, dude. The world's changing around me. I'm old. I don't like it.
People I'm not old.
Oil and mint. And
I'm just 30. I'm not old. I'm 30.
Oh, 30, flirty and thriving, right? I give this 5 stars.
I'm flirting with this review. Just kidding. This person's 13. I give this review 3 stars because I like the words bussin' and skibbity. And I think the podcast is so good, it's ice cold.
I'm giving it 5 stars because I'm afraid if I offend Gen Alpha, then they're going to figure out a way to hack my Twitter and flood it with K-pop fan cams or something. I don't know. I'm so scared of the young people.
Ai, ichi, ni, san, arigato.
What? Is that Barry-chan? What happened to Barry-chan?
Barry-chan.
Sorbet. Do you remember that? The girl, the idol
group?
Oh,
the one that got canceled?
The idol group that got canceled?
They were not Korean?
Japanese.
They were not Japanese? Is it yeah. J-pop or K-pop?
It was a Japanese idol thing. And that, I could just play the first opinion. I don't want to figure out the world anymore.
Hey guys, hilarious voicemail. This is Aaliyah Roach from Georgia. And what I like to eat when I'm sick is a can of chicken noodle soup from, I think it's Progresso, you know, the blue can. And instead of just microwaving that, I like to mix in mashed potato mix. And then I microwave that. And it's this weird, like creamy textural experience. And it just goes down your throat better when you're sick. Mm-hmm. Something about it is just amazing. Anyway, love the podcast, guys.
I know what this is. Do you know Thicket?
Yeah, I know Thicket.
Okay, Thicket is for problems with phagia, right? Phagia?
Yeah.
Swallowing problems?
Dysphagia.
Dysphagia or aphasia, something like that.
Aphasia is where you think you're saying words, but it's gibberish. That's aphasia.
Isn't that what Bruce Willis has?
I think so. Cause yeah. dementia. But dysphagia yeah. is where you cannot swallow or eat
yeah.
properly.
Yeah, and sometimes when you have a sore throat and you're sick, you have dysphagia. So instead of using Thicket, this person is using instant potato flakes. And it works. It's smart. I like it.
It is very smart. You're effectively making a vichyssoise.
Oh,
you know,
is that
you're
what
making like a potato.
Is?
I think vichyssoise is a potato leek soup. This is just a potato and chicken with little noodle bits.
Yeah.
Also, you're getting all of that, like, glutamate deliciousness from that chicken soup.
Mm-hmm.
Basically making, like, MSG chicken-flavored mashed potatoes. It sounds lovely.
Do you like Progresso soup?
I grew up on a lot of Progresso soup and a lot of Campbell's Chunky. We bought whatever was on sale.
Yeah, us too.
And so, yeah, I grew up eating.
Were you a can denter?
Oh, yeah, we would dent the cans so we'd get discounts.
Yeah.
Of course.
Sometimes I was a can denter.
Would you ever go to, there's like a speed rack by the bathrooms that had old pastries?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't do that anymore, but I used to.
We made it out. Ascending.
Hi, Nicole and Josh. My name is Emily from Tampa. My husband and I love all you guys on Mythical Kitchen.
Thank you.
This is going to be a hot take, especially for you guys. Tony Satchery's original Creole seasoning is not Cajun seasoning.
It just
tastes like straight up salt. So much so that you can't discern any other seasoning flavor that may be in there. It's borderline marketing fraud. That's why you guys can put it on anything, because you're just finishing off your food with salt like you normally would. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Love the podcast.
She's right, and I know she said a lot of harmful words. But
what were the harmful words?
Not harmful words. No. I've heard people say this before, and you are correct, that like a proper Cajun seasoning, I mean, there is like thick bits of thyme in it, and it's coarse, and it's deeply like red, all those black
like Zatarain's, right?
No, Zatarain's is basically the same as Tawny Sachery's. Slap Your Mama is closer to a proper Cajun seasoning.
Is it? I don't like it as much. I like Tony's more than Slap Your Mama's.
The thing about Tony's is, you're correct, the reason we put it on everything is because it's effectively a seasoned salt.
Yeah, it's an all-purpose seasoning. I would never classify Tony Sachery's as a Creole seasoning. I just consider it all-purpose.
Effectively, yeah. And it just so happens, it has the general flavor profile of Cajun seasoning, but that is to just say...
In smaller quantities, though, so it's not as, like, aggressive.
Yeah, 100%. No, so what you're saying is absolutely correct.
Yeah,
I just view that
you.
As an opportunity for Tony Sachery's. To me, it's a competitor to, like, a Lowry's seasoning salt.
Sure.
You know, and I prefer Tony Sachery's. So you're correct, and I don't know if I'd call it marketing fraud, but hell of a product, and I love it.
Hey, Josh, Nicole, and Maggie, and potentially a guest. So my food opinion is this, is that you can be exposed to a food or a restaurant so much that you get sick of it. I'm curious if y'all have had that experience. My first job in high school was working at a Wendy's. Oh, I'm Chris, by the way, from South Carolina. Hi.
So
my first job in high school was working at a Wendy's. And I worked there for like 11 months. And by the time I finally quit, I was sick of the smell of the grease and the fries and the burgers and everything like that, to where it would actually make me nauseous. So I didn't have Wendy's again for like 10 years.
Mm.
And I'm curious if y'all had any experiences like that, any foods that you just ate so much of, or any foods that you had to cook so much that you just got completely sick of it and avoided it like the plague. Love what y'all do and love the pod. Love y'all. Bye.
Feels nice to be loved, huh?
Yeah, I have trouble accepting love sometimes, though.
You're getting there.
Yeah.
For me, one time I worked at a coffee shop, and I drank so much cold brew, and I would have like 4 cold brews a day, and I would shake, and I would be just a jittery mess, and then I stopped drinking it for like 2 years, and then now I drink cold brew again. But it's been a long time since I like 4 cold brews a day.
I ended up having a borderline gag reflex to Taco Bell's old chicken. So Taco Bell used to have this old grilled chicken that came in these giant sacks, and they had the fake grill marks on it. It was kind of weirdly artificially orange.
Oh, I remember it.
It's like deeply biting, peppery flavor. And the reason I got sick of it is because when I was working at this catering company at UCLA, we shared a commissary with Taco Bell.
Oh, that's cool.
And we would make buffalo chicken sandwiches that were literally just giant vats of Frank's Red Hot dumped onto the Taco Bell chicken pieces.
They would like give you the chicken?
Yeah, they all sort of shared, because I think when a name brand moves into a college, an airport, whatever, it gets like contracted through a third party. And so they're all running through the same commissaries, all sharing
Wild.
Products.
I did not know that.
Yeah, really strange. And so I would take home, because there's so much left over, because it frankly was not good. Taco Bell chicken inside a quesadilla, perfectly fine. Outside the context of Taco Bell, as a main protein, not great. And they've since changed their chicken. They've added braised chicken. It's much better. But that chicken, I used to take home pounds of it because I was poor in college and I wanted protein.
Mm-hmm.
And I ate so much of it. Went back to Taco Bell, had a chicken quesadilla, and almost gagged at the thought of it, because you're right. Food is connected to memory. And so all of those memories of like,
sure,
you know, I smelled bleach when I tasted this chicken
because the
catering kitchen always smelled like bleach.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, yeah.
Really negative food memory.
A thing that is I've now eaten to the point of sickness is Zenku chicken.
Yeah.
I'm out of my Zenku chicken. It's a local rotisserie chicken chain in L.A. And it's very beloved. And I do still love it. But I need to chill for a sec. I'm on my El Pollo Loco grind.
My dad used to get, like, every week, he would get a chicken tarna plate and a, what was the other one? Chicken tarna and the meat.
This is called shawarma.
Yeah, and shawarma with so many pitas and a quarter chicken. And he would get that once a week. And literally, there were at some points, I was like, this is not good anymore, Dad. Yeah. Please don't get this anymore. Though it is delicious. It's just the repetitive nature of eating the same thing all the time. You're like, bleh, can't do it.
I still have packs of frozen Zenku chicken pita because I order so much chicken that they think I'm a large family.
Mm, yeah.
And so I'll have like 18 pitas with my family order.
That tracks.
Yeah, yeah. So that's fun. All right, one more.
More.
Come on.
Hi, Josh and Nicole. Longtime listeners, first time callers.
Sure, likely story.
Tuesday and Dulce from Central California. And Dulce, my girl, just told me an opinion that I feel like I needed to call you with.
You called the right people.
She says that a Hawaiian roll needs to be peeled and eaten in order to judge the quality of it. Apparently, the skin of a Hawaiian roll needs to be peeled and eaten first to truly judge how good it is. It sounded crazy to me, but maybe she has something to say. Let me know what you think about it.
The bottom is the best. Part.
And the bottom is the best
so
part.
So cute.
Anyway, thank you very much. Love the podcast.
Okay, first of all, you guys are so cute. Adorable.
You're the only couple that's ever called in that I haven't told to divorce.
That's right, but there's still time to answer the question. Divorce might come up. Well, I don't know. Listen, when it comes to Hawaiian
rolls. You know the Hawaiian roll skin that she's talking about.
Yeah, of
though.
Course I do. I know. I understand. I don't judge Hawaiian rolls that highly. Like, I don't compare Hawaiian rolls to, like, other ones.
Also, what other Hawaiian rolls are there? There's
King's Hawaiian. That's
it. And then there's everything else.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't, like, discern my Hawaiian rolls between one another, so I don't need to peel it like a string cheese.
But I want to peel it like a string cheese.
It makes sense to peel
it. It's like picking a scab. You're picking a bread scab.
Yeah. I love picking scabs.
Oh, and it is by far the best part. And I agree. The bottom, the bread that
sticks to the bottom.
Stuck to the bottom of the paper.
It's because of the sugar.
Oh, my God.
Sugar. Is there pineapple juice in those?
I doubt it.
I like them a lot.
Yeah, King's Hawaii. It's based on, is it pão doce? Portuguese sweet bread. But they've like exploded in popularity recently. King's Hawaiian is one of those companies where I'm like, I would trust you to deliver my baby. You know what I mean?
Did you know I was going to work there before I came here?
Really?
Yeah.
Down in Torrance, down in their HQ. I've never been to their restaurant.
We should go. Should make a video about it.
We should go. But yeah, I want to peel off. I grew up eating King's Hawaiian rolls with grocery store fried chicken meal deals.
I grew up eating them with butter.
Just straight up butter?
Yeah.
Well, so we would get, you go to the grocery store and like a Ralph's and you'd get 8 pieces of fried chicken, a pack of King's Hawaiian rolls, coleslaw, either beans, potato salad, whatever, a little picnic pack. Mm-hmm. And then I would take the King's Hawaiian rolls and I would peel off the little scab and I would use that like a tortilla, kind of chop up.
So you pick the skin.
I pick the skin. Yeah, I'm fully
on
her side.
So you're a skin picker. I never did that with my Hawaiian rolls.
Yeah. And then there comes to a point where you can't pick more skin and then you break it in half and kind of flatten it. Like a
because it's
like
easy
a
to
chapati.
Yeah, it's so, easy to
so sugary.
Yeah.
Oh,
I haven't had a King's Hawaiian roll in a long time.
I'm craving it now. I need one.
Yeah. You know what I want? I want to take a piece of spam and I want to cook it, like sear it, and then I want to do a sunny side up egg, and then I want to also put teriyaki sauce, and then I want to make a sandwich and I want to eat it. Mayonnaise.
Doghouse is a local hot dog
Never
chain.
Never been.
Adam Gertler, the head Versmacher. Hawaii. I feel like I'm talking to nobody here. No, they use King's Hawaiian rolls for their hot dogs, for their burgers.
How do you make a King's Hawaiian roll hot dog?
3 rolls in a row, slice in half. You got to kind of compress it with your hand.
You got to help it out a little bit. You got to cup it.
You got to cup it a little bit to sort of turn it into a tube. But
yeah, you got
to
hold it.
When you get the right amount of like spicy sausage, because they make different sausages.
Yeah.
On that sweet roll. Brother.
Yum.
What a food. Great opinion, though. That brought back a fantastic taste and texture memory for me. Well.
Well, Josh,
I don't want to stop recording now. I've hit a second wind.
I think you should
go.
Let's just
fully re-record all the stuff about the tea. I feel like we can do it better.
Please get me out of here.
On that note, thank you for listening to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. We got the new audio only episodes every Wednesday and a video version here on YouTube every Sunday.
If you want to be on our I need to say that again. If you want to be featured on Opinions by Casseroles, give us a ring and leave a quick message at 833-DOG-POD-1. The number again is 833-DOG-POD-1.
And for more medical kit, check out all the videos every week. Do you like them?
Bye. See ya. Thanks for listening and watching and being here and being a part of this family.